Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Etta Banks, your host here today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, along with
your co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes. Good morning.
Amen. Good morning, beloved. How are you today?
I am well, thank you.
Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Another awesome day in which we can give God praise, glory, and honor, which we can share with one another. Hallelujah. So we are just so grateful. And let me do my morning routine and saying good morning to Tamika Shelton. God bless you, woman of God. Love you much. Bless God. And to her mother, Joyce Richardson, and to Joyce in New York, and Deacon Thomas Farr, Prophetess Dorn, Prophetess Kim Kim, Prophet Michael Crawford and his wife Songbird, to Isaiah in Chicago, Josh in Pennsylvania, all of the rest of the listeners that come on that we don't know your names, but good morning to each and every one of you. It is always so good to see your numbers pop up on this screen that we know that we're not just talking to ourselves, but somebody out there is listening to us. And go ahead, beloved, your good mornings.
Yes, I want to say good morning to all of our listeners. Thank you again for joining us on this beautiful Saturday morning. And just give a shout out to my husband, Mark Garnes, and my son, Christopher Parrison.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know something? I'm so glad that you mentioned, I'm so glad that you mentioned your husband, Mark, because your husband and Joyce's husband, and some of it may be by default, but because they're in the same rooms with y'all, they hear our show. You know, they hear the show all the time. So it is so awesome, you know, to know that they are with us and that they are listening. So another good, wonderful, wonderful day. Wonderful day. Also, before we pray, I want to give a shout out to Diane Spencer. Diane Spencer, who is a very dear friend of mine. We grew up together in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Grew up together. We had our children together. We called each other sister, and to my children, she was Aunt Diane, and to her children, I was Aunt Etta. They grew up as cousins, and I'm someone that I truly love very dearly, and my love passed away on Thursday. She was had cancer throughout her body, an extreme case of it. And I was talking to my sister on Thursday morning, and she was telling me about my friend's condition. And I said, okay, I'll come home this weekend so that I can visit her and pray with her. And even though I've prayed with her numerous times via phone, I wanted to be there and be in person to pray with her. And 3 hours after my sister told me that, 3 hours after that, my dear friend passed away, my sister's friend, she passed away. So I ask you to keep Diane Spencer's family. She has 2 sons and 2 or 3 grandchildren. Just ask you to please keep them in prayer, and all those that were attached to her that loved her dearly. You know, just keep the family in prayer. Death seems to be so very prevalent and all around us. And this is why it's so important that we go forth and we minister to the people, especially those that are dear to us, but we minister to them and lead them to the Lord, lead them to the Lord, so that when they do leave this earth, we know that they are with our Father, and at that time, their Father, and we can be in peace about it. We can be in peace about it. So I am sad for the loss of a friend, but I am rejoicing because my sister, right along with my apostle a couple of weeks ago, several other people, y'all have heard me throughout this year mentioning how many people, you know, that are going on to be home, going on to glory. So I can be in peace with them leaving this earth because I know that they're in a much, much better place. So celebrate the life of those that you have with you right now and do what you can to lead them to the Lord so that they too will be able to rejoice in the heavenlies saying, Abba, I made it home. I made it home. So I'm excited. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. Amen. Amen. Minister Tabika, may I ask you, please, honey, to lead us in prayer this morning.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord God, because we are alive to see it, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that you are our provider. You are our protection.
Yes.
You are everything that we need. You, Father God, you go before us, and we pray to you, and you go before us, and you hear our prayers, and you're on a throne, and you know what we're going through, God. You know our struggles. You know, Father God, what we cry out to you about. You know the things we don't understand. So, Lord God, you see everything, and we know you see everything, Lord God. But at times, our situation is so overwhelming. But, Father, we know when we look to you, Lord God, that you give us that peace that we need because you are the Prince of Peace. You are the great I Am. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are everything, Father. And we just thank you for being a loving and forgiving Father. We thank you, Lord, that when we do things, God, out of disobedience and rebellion and all those things that we struggle with here on this earth, Lord God, you are still a loving Father. And you don't turn your back on us when we don't listen, Lord God. You are still that same loving Father. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forever, oh God. And if we could just learn to love ourselves and learn love one another, Lord God, the same way that you love us, what a better world this would be. But, Father, we know that times that people won't listen, they're not going to understand, they're going to be stubborn, they're going to do what it is that they want to do. But, Father, I ask that you forgive them as well in the name of Jesus, God. Forgive us of our sins, any sins done in thought, word, or deed, God. And, Lord, we repent right now in the name of Jesus, God. It means we turn away, Lord God, from those things that keep us bound, that keep that space, that wall in between you and us, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus, God, that you are so faithful. You are so faithful. You are so faithful. You are so faithful, Father God. And we just say thank you, Lord. We thank you for this peaceful day, Father God. We thank you that you've given us the authority, the dominion, and the power, Lord God, over many things. And God, I pray that this day we will begin to activate and exercise that power, authority, and dominion that you've given us, Father. And we just want to say we love you, we thank you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Awesome, awesome prayer, awesome word of God. And I love the Lord, and I know that you do, beloved. And it is such an honor for us to be able to share in this together, to share in this together. And I love to hear you pray. Praise be unto God. I love to hear you pray. Amen. Amen. Well, saints, we are going to hold a discussion today about the role of the husband, according to the Bible, about the role of the husband. And this is coming about due to conversation that I had last night with one of my male friends, and who's very interested in getting married. And so we were talking about, you know, the responsibilities of the husband. And it was interesting, and unfortunately he can't be with us today, but I do plan on getting him on the air with us at some point in time. It's so interesting, and that's why I love Deacon Farr's show. I love Deacon Farr's show because I love hearing men talk about, you know, the godly principles that have been set before them, and hearing men, you know, as they go through, whether it's their struggles and or successes in following the word of God and trying to live a life according to the Bible. And I just think it is so marvelous, you know, because women, we are so quick and so easy almost, you know, to fall in love with God and to want to do everything that we can to please him. And normally it takes men a little longer to do so. And from what I understand, part of the reason of that is we as women are made to desire, hallelujah, thank you, Holy Spirit, we desire the covering, you know, of man. When in Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell, and God told Eve, like, her desire is going to be for her husband, you know, so we desire that covering. And so we do it in the natural with our husbands, and then we want God, you know, to be our coverings, and we're so easy to submit to God. We do that, and it's easier. It's not so easy. It's easier. And part of the reason why it's easier is because every woman wants to be loved. Every woman wants to be loved. And God is love. So our inner man gravitates towards him. It just gravitates towards him. And this is why we see more women in church than we see men. Now, the man has been created to lead and to be the overseer, to be the head, and so forth and so on. So in him is the need and the desire to do that leading, to be in control. And for them to love God the way that we as women love God means that they have to give up some control. It's very difficult for man to give up control. It is very difficult for them to do that because it's in them to want to do that. And we can't argue with that. You know, it is in them. But they also have to learn how to submit to God, to submit to him, let God be in control, and understand that they can still be the leader. And leader in this sense, we're talking about one that influences others, not one that is dictating to others, but one that is influencing someone else. And so good godly men can be godly leaders, influencers, can be godly husbands, influencing the family, and it's a beautiful thing. So today we want to discuss the role of the husband in the Bible, and I'm going to turn this portion right now over to you, beloved, and go ahead and share some of the information that you have, please.
Yes, ma'am. All right. So the role of husbands, or role of the husband in the Bible. So the first role would be the leader. And it starts with leadership. So in the Bible, the role of the husband starts with leadership. And scripture makes it very clear that a husband must be a leader of his home and have healthy control of his life. It references the scripture, 1 Timothy 3, and that scripture says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So, the Bible tells us all the characteristics or that a man should have, especially when it comes to taking care of the church. And when we speak of leadership, we know that there are many positions in the Bible where the man was in leadership, and you know, most was being the leader of his household. That's very important because, you know, then it, when it references to the church, it's like, well, if you can't take care of your own family, the family that you see every day, the family that that you're supposed to take care of and that you're supposed to lead, it, not just physically and, you know, and not just emotionally and not just by, you know, going to work and bringing home the money, but you're also supposed to lead them spiritually. Also, it also references Ephesians 5:21-24, and that speaks about submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. All right. So let's speak on that part, that part of Ephesians 21-24 when it speaks about wives submitting to their husbands. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. So I believe this scripture has been taken out of context in the natural, because when people mention this particular scripture, it's like, you know, yes, it does say we ought to submit to our husbands. Yes, it does. But if our husbands are telling us things and it goes against the word of God or it's putting them above God, then that's not what that means. It doesn't mean that we submit out of respect, honor of our husbands, just like we would respect and have reverence and honor the Lord. But it does not mean that our husbands can just tell us, oh, no, you're not going to church, or no, you're not reading the Bible. Anything that comes up against the Lord, that's not what we're supposed to submit to, because we know we're supposed to love the Lord more than we love our husbands and anybody and anything else. So if our husbands are using this scripture against us to manipulate us to doing something that he wants us to do, then that's the spirit of witchcraft. That is not what this scripture is meant. But again, it's taken out of context so many times, and because, you know, people go to this scripture when it's convenient for them, and then it's manipulated and turned around, and then it gives the women this sense of guilt. Oh, but it does say I'm supposed to submit to my husband. It does say that. So whatever it is that he's telling me to do, I'm supposed to submit to that, because he is, you know, he is over me. I am supposed to listen to him. I am supposed to follow him. I am supposed to do, you know, what he tells me to do. again, husbands are not supposed to be dictators. They are not supposed to be dictators. They're not supposed to be like rulers over us, like slaves and things like that. They should not demand. They should not rule over their wives. Instead, husbands should influence their wives and families in accordance with biblical teaching. They should exemplify with their voice and their actions attributes that bring glory to God and value to their spouse and family. The fruit of a good biblically based husband is a strong, confident, spiritually mature wife and family. And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Apostle.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you, that was good. That was some good stuff right there. That was good stuff. And it's amazing how many godly women, you know, because they want to be so obedient to the word of God, you know, that they too, you know, take that scripture and it seemed like they end it at, you know, wives, submit unto your husbands, you know, and give up all of their, and I hate to say the word rights, but I don't know what else to say right now, but give up all of their rights to be an individual that follows God, loves the Lord, obedient to him, and still can submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. And I'm telling you, I've been talking to men. I have been talking, and like I said, I had a very in-depth conversation, you know, with a male friend of mine last night. And I felt honored to be able to call him friend, because here is someone, you know, that desires to get married and is seeking God and knows the ways he's been taught, okay, back in the church that he came out of, that he grew up in, and so forth. He knows what he's been taught, and checking with me as a woman, is this correct? Is this the way God intended it to be? And so he has some interesting comments, and, you know, and prayerfully, you know, I'll be sharing that as we go along. But let's look at, you know, the role of the husband in the Bible. Minister Tabika brought out the leadership in him, and leadership meaning to influence. But God also wanted the man to be the provider and the protector. And so the leadership is where it starts, but it encompasses provision and protection. A husband could never really influence his wife if he does not care for her. He can demand, and she may follow as a result of it, but he will never truly have her heart unless he provides for her needs and cares for her well-being and protect her both physically and spiritually. I mean, babies, do we hear that? I mean, and the thing is, we know that. Unfortunately, a lot of the men don't know it. The scriptures tells us that anyone who does not provide for his relatives, and especially people of his own household, they have denied the faith, and they are worse than an unbeliever. Or in the King James Version, it says you're worse than an infidel. And that's what an infidel is, an unbeliever. Now, here. See, men don't want to hear that, but they are supposed to be the provider of the household. And that is in 1 Timothy 5 and 8, that if they don't provide, they're worse than an unbeliever. They have denied the faith. And then in Colossians 3 and 19, it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. This is in the English version of the word. And in 1 Peter 3 and 7, it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayer. so that nothing will hinder your prayer. Understand, beloved, understand that God loves his daughters. He loves the children that the daughters will bring forth, that they will bear. And when he gives one of his daughters to a man, he desires that that man cares for her. And no place in the scripture does it teach or endorse that women and children should be considered second rate or inferior to men. In fact, he finds them so precious that he asks for special care to be given to them, a care that only a biblically based man can provide. Women are very capable. We are, and you know that, very capable of taking care of ourselves. However, God did make men and women different, and thus, due to the physical nature and the strength that God gave man, God has charged them with provision and protection for the family. Provision and protection. Now, let me share right here one of the things that, as the brother and I were talking last night, that you know, we were speaking about the financial part of the relationship, and how should the monies be handled. And he, you know, is from the school where you put, you know, the husband and wife put their monies together in an account, and they both get an allowance that they're able to do whatever they want to do every single week. But the monies go into an account, and all of the bills are paid from that account. And so it's not your money, my money. This is our money paying our bills. So that is the school that, you know, he comes from. Then there is the thing where people go by the bills. You know, we have $2,000 in bills, so we'll split it right down the middle. You pay 50% of the bills, I pay 50% of the bills. And that's another school of thought. And we both get an allowance that we're able to spend. And I'm trying to think, what was the third one? There was a third way. Okay, you have the general account that the money goes in to pay the bills. And then each one can have their own separate account so that as they are getting this allowance weekly or biweekly, however your pay comes, you are able to save money, you know, so that you'll have money to buy those special things that you wish to buy and that won't take away from the household fund, so that you can buy each other gifts without each other knowing, you know, that money is being spent from that. It's not coming from the general account. And he was saying, when you have the general account with everybody, you know, all the money that's going into that account, if there's something that's of a large manner that needs to be purchased, this is something that you would discuss together, come to an agreement, and money from the general account, i.e., if you want to buy new furniture, if you want to purchase a car, so any large investment, that's something y'all come to an agreement, because the payment for these things or paying for those things is going to come from that general account. That's you know, and that's where that would come from. And again, the saving up your money for your own personal things. He has no say-so over what you do with your $50 a week, and you have no say-so what he does with the $50 a week. Y'all, that's your spending money. So it was a very, very interesting conversation dealing with that. And we know that as it stands, the way things are in this century and the last century as well, I guess, more and more women are working. More and more women are definitely providers in their household. Even, you know, as being married, there are more and more women that are making more money than their husbands make. And it is a known fact that finances is one of the biggest culprits when it comes to marriages falling apart is the biggest challenge that we have in marriages. It's interesting, and I don't know if people are aware of it. You know, if you ask someone, what is the biggest problem in marriage, you know, that brings us to the place of divorce, almost 9 out of 10 people is going to say adultery. That's what brings us to that place. But, baby, it's actually the finances, because the finances, the trouble that we have with that, normally can lead us to adultery, you know. So it is not being happy where the finances are concerned in the household. And trust me that God looks at this very, very serious. He did not give Eve to Adam before Adam was able to provide. He provided. He worked first. He was able to provide for his wife when he was given that wife. And a lot of women go into relationships where the husband isn't able to financially provide for the household. And spiritually, he's not able to provide for the household. And that becomes a problem. Now, there's nothing wrong with us as women working and supporting our husbands and what it is that they're doing. But there definitely must be an understanding that that is his first role, is to provide and protect her. This is something that absolutely must be done. And what I found so interesting, Tabika, in discussing this with my friend was he makes good money. He makes very good money. And he has some goals set. And there's business that he is developing. And a large portion of his money goes towards that business. And again, wanting to be married, he said, you know, I've got to speak to the woman that I'm dating. And we have to hold a discussion, because when I get married, the money that I'm putting towards the business, some of that now has to be diverted to go towards taking care of a wife and children and so forth. And I've got to ask myself, am I willing to do that now? Am I willing to do that? I've had these goals set. This is what I want to do. Yet I want to get married. Is this a compromise that I'm willing to do? Or am I able to speak to the potential intended and say, can I have 2 or 3 years of putting this money towards the business that will bring us much more money, and we live off of this money and, you know, a certain amount of money. We live off of that. And it was, I was impressed that he knew this was a conversation that they must have. He knew that if he wasn't ready to make that change, or she didn't agree with him to let the monies go where he had it dictated to go, that now may not be the time to get married. That was being spiritually mature. That was truly, truly being spiritually mature. So I was very excited, you know, about, you know, his thoughts and his attitude towards it. And his words to me, he said, sis, please tell me, am I wrong, or is it that God intended for the man to support the woman? And I said, dear, no, you're not wrong. That is the intention. But, you know, we have grown so much into the place of we need to have so much, or we want so much, that normally one income, his income, is not enough to take care of the household. And but that's the way God intended it, you know, for the man to be able to pay for everything, take care of the household, and the woman take care of the house, you know, and taking care of her husband. And he is supposed to, you know, do the same thing financially. It's interesting, excuse me, it's an interesting thing, you know, how much the enemy has gotten us away from what God intended for us to do. Lady Tadika, I hand it back to you, my love.
Yes, ma'am. And I just wanted to, you know, speak on what you were talking about, you know, as far as the man and taking care of everything as far as financially. What has happened is that we've moved away from what the Bible says, that responsible, what the responsibilities are of the woman and the man in the marriage. We moved away from that so much. We started listening to what the world says marriage should look like. And so now it's all mixed up, and we're getting, you know, opinions from the world and we're getting opinions from the world. But what we're supposed to move on is what the Word of God says, not what the world says. And so now you can have a mixture of what people that who aren't biblically based are saying, and we kind of like moved away from what God has said in the Bible, and we start listening to what man has said, and we're wrong. You know, we're wrong. And we need to go back, start living from what God said, because He knows how relationship and marriage is supposed to go. And I believe if we would base our marriages off the Word of God, they would work, you know? They would work. We purpose not to allow the world to dictate any portion of our marriage, and our marriage, our foundation of our marriage is built on what the Word of God says. There's no way your marriage can fail. There's no way, because God does not fail. His Word does not fail. And we try to make it seem like it's God's fault when things don't work out, because we say, well, I did with everything that that the Word of God told me to do. I did everything. And apparently you didn't, because you can't tell me that God's Word failed. It does not. And so I think what happens is we put our own little sin or our own little potion or whatever, and I don't want to use the word potion because that's, you know, but I'll say we'll put our own ingredient. We put our own ingredients into it. So we mess it up because we want to do things our way. You know, we want to be stubborn. We want what we want. And so if we don't follow God's word to a T, I mean to the exact to what God says, and not, you know, put our own ingredients into it, it will work. It will work. It will work. And God already knew that it will work, because that's why it's in the Bible. And, you know, he's not gonna tell us something that he knows that it's not gonna work. So apparently, you know, if it's in the Bible and he's telling us, he's giving us direction, he's giving us instruction, and if we just follow that, our marriages will work out. But we being who we are, you know, strong-willed, strong-minded, stubborn, don't want to listen, think we know everything, we come into the marriage with that stuff, and we can taint it. But there is hope, you know. There is hope, you know. There is hope. You know, if you're going through something in your marriage, don't feel hopeless. There is hope. Let's take our marriage back to the biblical days, and when God says that's how we're supposed to operate, come on, let's take it back there. Let's go to the Bible and let's just base our marriage off of what God is saying, and watch how God turns our marriage around. Watch how it turns our marriage around. Yes, you know, it's the heart of two people, and one person's heart may be in it and one person's heart may not be in it. Then if that's the case, then you go to God and make your daily prayer. Your daily prayer to God is to, please, God, you see what I'm going through. You know, you may be the one that wants it to work and wants it to work biblically, and that other person isn't there yet. Just pray for that person's heart every day. Pray for that person's heart, that God would change that person's heart, that God would change that person's mind, so that, you know, they'll come to the realization that this is how our marriage is supposed to be, and it's supposed to look, it's supposed to mimic God's word and everything that he said about marriage. And eventually that person, eventually, it may take years, but eventually that person will break. So don't feel bad if you, you know, your marriage may not be biblically. Because let me tell you something. A lot, mine is not all the way biblically. So I'm not, you know, I can't sit here and be like, well, my, you know, I'm not that type of person who, when I know something about myself is not right, I don't put the mask over it and try to play it like it is. I'm very transparent. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, seeing, reading this, and the role of the husband. Now, my responsibility is to go look up the role of a wife. And if I'm not doing things according to God's word, I need to repent and ask God to forgive me. And then I need to go revisit what it is that I'm not doing. And so, we're not perfect people at all. We're not perfect people at all. But when we know stuff, when we don't know something, that's one thing. But then when we know it, it's another thing to then go and change it. And be, and you know, who God designed us to be.
Let me, thank you, honey. Very good, very good. And when you're talking about, like, we take our own stuff into it and what it is we want, and one of the biggest examples of that is same-sex marriages. You know, like, how in the world, okay? How in the world do you justify that according to the word of God? And in holding conversation with this man last night, he said to him, it's like a lock and a key. God created the man and with the key, and the woman is the lock. Until woman came along, man had a key, but he had no lock to put the key in. He had no, and then God gives the lock. And now the man can insert that key, and worlds of things are opening up for him through that. You know, the children are being provided or brought forth and so forth. There's love and companionship and so forth. A whole lot of stuff is coming out of this. And blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, like, I totally, I freak out when I hear interviews on TV that are being done with these movie stars or sports personalities, you know, people that would be doing interviews on TV. And when I hear a man saying, yeah, my husband, blah, 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 and I could not even be looking at the show or looking at the interview, just me in the room, and I hear a man saying, my husband, and I back up, like, what did he just say? My husband. Mm-hmm. I hear a woman talking, and she's talking about her wife, and I'm like, Father God, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. And you know, the enemy has such a tricky way of playing with our hearts and our emotions. And we've got to be so careful because, you know, when you see these humanitarian stories about, you know, the gay couples that are adopting children and giving these children the best that there is that they could have, and these children are in such need, and how could we deny homosexual couples for adoption? How could we deny someone the right to get married legally because this way they can share in the health benefits. They also then are given the rights that a husband and or a wife would have in the conventional marriage. Then they would get the same benefits and so forth. And, you know, you're part of you saying, you know, yeah, I want them to be able, you know, if a couple has been together, and even though it's been in sin, if they've been together for 10 years, then they should have say-so in each other's life when someone, one of them is sick. They should be able to, when they get new jobs, put each other on your health insurance and so forth. You know, your heartstring pulls for that. But what does God's word say? What does his word say? But you're right. You know, we come into marriage and relationships, and one of the biggest things that we fall for is falling in love. You know, we end up falling in love, And therefore, because we are in love, we toss out things that God is saying, hey, pay attention to this, daughter, pay attention, son, can you provide, da-da-da-da-da. Oh, but I love him, or I love her, you know, and he makes me feel good, and da-da-da-da-da. And then we end up in a place, praise be unto God, that is a very undesirable place, because being in love is not the reason that we should be getting married. And I know people don't like to hear that, but it's not about being in love, because, honey, that changes as things go on. So do you have all the other components to make a marriage work? That's what it is, the characteristics of the person. The love will come. And if I come across a man that will provide for me, protect me, pray for me, make me laugh, you know, trustworthy, loyal, great companion, and so forth. If this man can provide all of that, the love will come. The love will come. If he's treating me right, the love will come. You know, but too quick we get caught up in, you know, I'm in love, and so so what if he can't provide for me right now? He will. You know, so what if he doesn't go to church on a regular basis? He will. So what if God is not first in his life? God is first in my life, and surely I can get my husband to come along with me with that. He will. You know, and we start making excuses and thinking that we can change someone, you know, because we're in love and that we can change them. Beloved, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. My goodness. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, my love. Go ahead.
All right. So we have someone that desires to speak. 1 second. Okay. So your last 4 digits are 1166. Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. One of the things I thank God for is when it comes to marriage in my life, I've always asked God to prepare me to be a helpmate, to teach me about the responsibility of marriage. And I think a lot of people that before they got married or that are married, they don't go to God and ask him to teach them how to be a husband, to teach them how to be a wife. I was very blessed to have a mentor, her name is Sheila, who taught me about marriage and told me the different radio stations. I listen to 95.1, and then I look at the Word Network where there's a marriage ministry on, and I think their name is Robinson. And you have to ask God for wisdom, revelation, and knowledge about every area of your life. And that's an area of my life that I'm just so secure in that I say, Lord, let me get married when you think I'm ready. And God, if that's not a part of my life that you would like for me to get married, you tell me. But please don't let my husband come in my life or me go in his life if you don't think we're ready to be married. And as a single woman, I'm just secure in that area of my life and knowing that when God is ready for me to get married, and I really enjoyed the nuggets that Apostle Banks gave when it comes to wanting to be married, that it's not just all being in love.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much for sharing. And with her saying that, thanks to God, yes, to all of you that are on this line, actually, Minister Tabitha and I are, you know, having great conversation here. But remember, you too can join the conversation by pressing 1 on your keypad. Give us what your thoughts are about this. You can share it from a personal experience, share it from what it is you've been taught, mentored with, or share what it is you desire to see happen. Whatever you choose to do, remember, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Amen. Amen. Okay, Minister Tabika, you can go ahead, please.
Yes, ma'am. All right, and so our last point for today is the role of the husband in the Bible is fulfilled through the heart of companionship. So we look at Ephesians 5:25-33. It says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." So, again, the Word of God has told us how husbands are supposed to love their wives, and they're supposed to love wives just as Christ loves the church. And they're supposed to take care of their wives, make sure their wives have everything that they need, anything that they stand in need of. They're supposed to make a way for it to happen as long as it's godly. The relationship between a husband and a wife is meant to be one of love, respect, and support. They are to help each other. And so this idea is introduced at the beginning of the Bible in the story of the creation of Eve. Adam needed a companion. We all know that, a suitable helper, yet one could not be found until God created Eve. Genesis 2, verses 20-24 says, "But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." And so we know that we were created, you know, from man. And what has happened is that in some relationships, some marriages, the woman has assumed the responsibility of the man. Even being married, some women have assumed the responsibility of the man. Some women have become the dictator in a marriage. They basically overrule the husband. They tell the husband what to do. They're the providers. They've become the man in the relationship, and that's not how God designed marriage. And if you see relationships that are like that, we know that it's something wrong there, because that's not of God, because in the Word of God tells us what the man's responsibility is. And if a woman is walking in the role of a man and the man is not standing up as the man, now there are cases where he may not be able to. He may be sickly. He may not be able to work and, you know, take care of the family. That's a totally different situation. But I'm talking about a very capable man, you know, that is basically lazy or just doesn't want to do it, or just basically just gave up all his rights as a man to his wife. It happens. I've seen it in some marriages. So it happens. And we know that in that case they're not operating from the Word of God, because that's not in the Bible. That's not the Word of God. God created men and women with natural, physical, and emotional differences. Usually where one is weak, the other is strong. Therefore, a husband and wife can help each other by meeting the other person's needs through physical and emotional intimacy. 1 Corinthians 7:2-5 addresses this. "But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not you because of your lack of self-control. When the needs of your spouse are properly met through healthy companionship, the two can help each other and can live a successful life together. So, when it talks about the sexual relations, it says that about the body, you know, the body, the woman yields her body to her husband, and the husband yields his body to his wife. It's not one-sided. It's not the wife yields her body to her husband, and then the husband doesn't have to do the same. You know, he has to do the same thing. And when it comes to depriving each other, that means that, like, if you're fasting and you're fasting from sexual relations is one of the things that you both agreed to do while you're fasting, then you come to an agreement. You're both on the same page. You both agree that it's okay to, you know, not have sexual relations during the fast. But then the word also says, but then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So, we we're talking about marriage, we're talking about sexual relations. When you haven't had sexual relations with your husband or wife in a while, you know, here comes the enemy. Here comes the enemy with tempting your self-control. Do you have it? Sometimes it may become hard when you're not participating in that with your wife or your husband. Then here comes enemy will place right in your path, you know, a beautiful woman will walk past you and say hi. And, you know, and then here comes the enemy. He wants to play more on that. Or here comes a handsome man, and he speaks, and then here comes the enemy. So you just got to be careful and just make sure that you're on one accord with each other. Apostle, I know we got a few minutes left. You want to go ahead and expound on this?
Amen. Amen. I am definitely in agreement with the companionship and, you know, and how we must relate one to the other and not withholding ourselves and yet, you know, can't make the demands on the other, you know, the intimate part of that relationship, you know, is something that we come to in agreement. You know, we come to this in agreement. And when we look at all that we have said this morning, sweetheart, we're looking at the leadership being influenced, an influencer, the husband. We're looking at him being a provider and a protector and him being a companion. And like you said, you know, then we have to look at what the responsibilities of a wife are. What are they? And today we touched, you know, on the husband. And thanks to God, I pray that, as, you know, Minister Tabika said about praying for your husband, if he's not walking the way that he should, I also ask you, please, to put yourself on the altar. Do something. Be in the place where you're saying, God, change me. Whatever there is in me that needs to be changed, Lord, do so. And help me to be able to live with things as they are until the change comes. Until that change comes, give me the grace. When God told Peter, my grace is sufficient, yes, you've got a thorn in your side. Whatever that meant, give me the grace. God said, my grace is sufficient. So let the grace of God be sufficient to carry you through as you're praying and waiting for God to bring forth the answer. Let God be your ultimate husband and your influencer, your provider, your protector, and your companion. Babies, look, we've come to the end of our time. We both love you dearly. We thank you so much for being here with us today. And as always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings that he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. Therefore, I beseech you in the name of Jesus that you go forth even this day and be a blessing unto someone. And, beloved, when you do, do so on purpose. Please know that I love you with all my heart. But no matter how much I love you, know that God loves you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Take care. Meet us back here again next Saturday. Goodbye, Minister Tamika. God bless you.
Goodbye. Everybody enjoy the rest of your day.
Amen. Amen.